This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I've got the ark half built.
you got to think about that for a second, don't you?
I had to think about the ark and how far along we are. The ark is not finished, but if it doesn't quit raining, I'm going to have to go into overdrive and put some little minions on, and we're going to have to get that sucker done.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, what are the odds of having this much rain in the desert this late in the year? And it's been so cold, goodness gracious. It's been down in the 30s some mornings, and we've had all this rain. It has just felt like winter.
Let me tell you something. I think it is winter. And I heard yesterday that now we're going to have what they call a cold front. You know, we've been freezing. Now we're going to have a cold front. Do you love that?
Really?
Yeah, 39 to 40, that's not cold, apparently. Now we will have a real cold front.
Oh, that was just a practice cold front.
That was a practice to see how we would do.
I don't know that we're going to do all that well.
Well, and how many days has it been since you saw the sunshine?
I lost track. I don't know. I can flip the calendar page. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, I'm telling you, it's been a while. I've not seen any sun for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would say probably pretty close to that.
And we get alerts every day about where the flooding is.
Yeah.
Don't go down this road. It's already flooded. Don't go here. There's a flood there.
Yeah.
And we've just got lots and lots of water.
Yeah, it's like every day there's something down the news about the Llano River and, you know, opening up the dams in Austin. And, you know, we've had all the water that we've had here in West Texas. My goodness, it's just this system has taken over the entire state. It's weird.
And someone said, and I'm sure they're not telling the truth, that it was snowing the other day in Amarillo.
No.
Surely that isn't true.
Oh.
Not in October.
No. Well, nah, normally I would say not in October, but, you know, with what we've seen this past week here, maybe. Who knows?
Everything is possible. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Anything is possible. And I think we've seen the impossible this week.
Oh, my gosh. And little children go to school now with raincoats on every day.
Yes. And then, crops and different, like pumpkins, things like that are can be affected by this much water. I mean,
could be affected. They are affected. They're drowning in the fields.
Yeah.
And nobody can get out there to get the pumpkins out. It's a terrible thing.
It is. It affects so many different things.
And then it affects the state fair, which is really unreal.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, if you can't go to the state fair, what in the heck is going on? School children and families from all over Texas go to the state fair.
Yeah.
And this year, it's raining so much they can't even go. There's only been, in 2 weeks, I know of one good day they could have went. The rest of the time, it's raining so hard, you couldn't go to the fair, and you certainly can't ride all those wonderful rides and eat the corn dogs and the cotton candy and all the new things they have. You know, they always have fudge or some kind of new fudge, some kind of new cake. I mean, it's a wonderful place, and I sure hate that everybody can't go out there and enjoy it.
I know it. And so I'm sure attendance will be way down, profits will be way down. They may end up losing money this year. Then you got Big Tex out there who's getting all wet.
He is getting wet. His hat's wet. And, you know, I don't remember ever having a bad year at the fair. Because, you know, a million people always come.
Wow.
At least a million people in that 28-day period come and enjoy the fair.
My
and I'm going to have to check on attendance, but I know it's way down because it's just rained every doggone day.
Wow.
And you know, years ago, you had to drive down there. And it was just, there's, I don't know if you've been there, but lots of times people pay, you can pay them to park in their yards. That's how short the parking is at our state fair. And so lots of people do that. Well, it's too wet. You can't park in anybody's yard. But we do have the train that we didn't used to have. So now, I mean, everybody's riding the train down there if they're going at all. And that way you don't have to park in anybody's yard and maybe get your car stuck or, you know, have to find parking on the sides of the streets. So anyway, it's quite a deal.
It's interesting times, I'll tell you that. I mean, I know that, you know, we've had a day of rain here or there. That's not abnormal, but to have this much for this long, it's just, it's at some point it has to stop. And I'm seeing that the dry out was supposed to happen today, and now there's a chance for some more showers, and the dry out was supposed to happen tomorrow, but it's going to get down cold again. And now I'm seeing that there's a chance for more rain now continued into next week. So I don't know when it's going to end.
I don't either, but, you know, the ark like I'm building is not a bad idea.
It's probably, we're going to all go to Faye's house.
That's right. Can you see this ark going down the road,
yeah.
Right down the freeway? On wheels. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you ought to take reservations for dinner and everything on the ark, because I'm sure you'd have a house full.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And my pond is so full, it's amazing. How much water is above the pond, let me tell you.
I'm sure the llamas are a little bit soaking wet.
They are soaking wet, and they've taken to the barn.
Yep, yep.
And they don't usually do that. But it's rained so many days, their fur is so wet, they finally went to the barn.
Well, I would hope so. Gosh, I feel like I need to go to the barn.
You probably do. You're probably so wet you need to join them.
Yeah,
frankly.
I do.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Well, I guess we better give out the phone.
Let's do that, yeah.
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And Ivy Cottage has lots of things people need to look at for Thanksgiving, for Halloween. I've already been over there. I know all those good stuff.
You probably bought all that good stuff.
I did. I don't want to be the last one in.
So this is all about retirement. This is about growing your wealth, because we all want to retire happy. One, we want to retire wealthy, and if possible, some people want to retire early. Now, not everybody does, but some people do. And so you want to be able to have that option. And there's nothing more freeing than being able to have the money to go ahead and retire early if you want to, if you don't want to. When you know that you're still going to work just because you feel like it, and you can walk out at any time, it's a very freeing feeling to have. But to get to that point, you have to plan in advance. You can't just say, hey, I think next month I'm going to, you know, think about retiring. You've got to plan this thing, and it takes a few years.
Zach, do you think I could retire early?
I don't think you would retire early.
We know that ain't going to happen.
You love what you do so much, I think you're going to work until you absolutely can't do it anymore.
I think so, too. I think when we just, you know, say, there's the slab, you know, there goes Faye. That's what will happen, you know. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, I think more and more people, if they've worked for one company, they're more likely to retire early.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they've worked for several employers, I don't think they'll retire early. They're happier. But people who've worked for one person for 30 years are not particularly happy. They're tired. They would just want to leave, and they don't even think about getting another job. They just simply retire. Or after they retire for a couple of years, then they go back to work doing something they wanted to do all their life.
Yeah.
So then they are happy. But most of our people are going to retire, 67, 68, or maybe 70 if they're in real good health. And right now everybody's making a lot of money, and I encourage them to make as much as they can. Put in that 401k or in their IRA where they can retire and they'll have more money. And that's why we're out here. And that's why we're working so hard, is to have more when we retire to do something with. We don't want anything stopping us once we retire. We want to have free reigns, do what we want to do, spend as much as we want to, and enjoy life, you know?
Yeah.
People have waited so long for it.
And you can tell the difference when you're talking to somebody. At least, you know, during the week when I talk to various people, I can always tell the difference on where somebody stands. It's either black or white. It's like if they are prepared, retirement is a good thing. They look forward to it. You know, their eyebrows go up. They smile when they talk about it because they've been planning and building their wealth and getting ready. For the other side of the fence, people who are not ready, when you refer to retirement, it becomes the R word. And, you know, they're worried and they're scared and they're nervous. Nervous because they're not sure if they're ready. And for those people, retirement almost becomes a dirty word. But no matter where you are in the scale of life and where you are on your journey, it's never too late to start. So I know that people think, my goodness, I'm in my 50s. I've already blown it. I just might as well plan on working until the very end. That's not the case. You can still go ahead and get started.
That's right. 50s is nothing. I mean, that's an easy deal. If you're in your 50s, it's not that hard to do. If you're in your 70s, it would be hard to do. If you're just then starting to put your money together for retirement. But if you're 50, 60 years old, you've got plenty of time. But you have to get busy. You can't just procrastinate for a year or 3 or 4 years. I told you about the guy calling this last week. You know, he listened to me 10 years ago. So now, how much do you want to bet he's got? Hey. Not enough to retire.
Yeah, exactly.
I know he hadn't done the right thing, you know?
Well, and I know a lot of people, you know, plan for retirement with, you know, their 401k. And a lot of people plan for retirement by investing in the stock market and all this. Now, I'm going to go deep, and we've never actually gone this deep before. And so I'm putting you on the spot, and I'm aware of that. But I know you've got a smart brain for these things, and you can see what's not only right in front of us, but you can see in the future as well. So with the economy, it's booming like never before. It is going gangbusters. Here's the thing that I'm seeing, and I watched several reports this week. I read a lot of analysis articles throughout the week as well that are saying the economy is big as it is. The balloon just keeps, it's like blowing up that balloon. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what should be happening with this type of booming economy, we should be paying down the debt. And so that's not happening. And so we just keep getting further and further in debt. The deficit keeps going higher and higher. The economy keeps going, you know, gangbusters, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. At some point, what do you see happening for somebody who is invested in the stock market or does have everything in their 401k, and that's their sole retirement wealth building right in there? Do you see at some point the entire thing gets too top-heavy and we have another 1929? Do you see something that drastic, or are we going to be okay for
it? No, I don't think it'll ever go back that. I mean, I don't think we could stand it in this country. As far as we have come, I don't believe that would ever happen to us. I think it'll go down again, certainly, because we have too much happening. We have a lot of volatility right now. Look at all the things happening in the world, not just the United States, but everywhere. The mess in Saudi Arabia, you know, that's causing a lot of concern because that's one of our partners, and, you know, we do a lot of business with them. There's things happening in Iran all the time, and Syria, and all these things affect the market and people's thoughts. And a lot of this is what you're thinking, you know, what do you think is going to happen? And when people get to thinking about all this and how much they have at risk, sometimes they just say, I think I'll pull back. Well, and then the billionaires, you know, when they pull back, they take all their money out of the stock market. And when that does, then it scares the rest of the world, you know? So a lot of things is happening. We don't always know what the uncertainty is. So I think lots of times we should have some money that we know for certain can't go down, that we know that it can't be zapped in the stock market, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was taking some tests this week, and it was asking some questions that on ethics that I hadn't even thought about. And it was talking about all the brokers and things that can happen to people's money. and that lots of times somebody, they'll have different choices in the stock market, but the broker will put them in the highest percentage of profit for him. He's not, in other words, that mutual fund he could have put you in, he didn't do it. He put you in the mutual fund that had a higher cost because he wasn't doing well this month and needed more money.
So the broker is taking advantage of the investor, and it benefits the broker and not
instead of the investor, yes.
Wow.
So things like that happen. And it doesn't happen often, probably, but, you know, in New York City, that's where I always base everything. That's where all this happens because there's so many billions of dollars there, people can walk off with it, you know? And sometimes the broker up there makes the money instead of you making it because he was thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about your family and your retirement. So anyway, I was taking that test on all that, on ethics. And I said, if people ever read all this ethics training like I take, it'd scare them to death, you know?
Wow.
So a lot of things that we know about, you know, everybody else doesn't know about it, in other words.
So there's a lot of factors that can affect a lot of different things that can very seriously affect somebody's wealth if they're completely into the stock market. So it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds to me like really what you want to do, even if you're not close to retirement, even if you're, you know, obviously if you're, you know, a couple of years away from retirement, you probably, most people I would say, want to be a little bit more conservative because you don't want to lose 20, 30, 40 years of wealth building, you know, 3 years before retirement because you have to start over and that's just impossible to make up. So I get that. But for people who are a little bit further away, a little further out, you know, 10, 15, 20 years away from retirement, this is probably not the time to have all your eggs in one basket in something like Wall Street. You want to be a little bit more diversified.
I would be very diversified in with the way that things are right now, because you and I don't always know what's happening. We don't know what the government's doing. We don't know what the other governments are doing. And, you know, sometimes our assets are in jeopardy and we don't know it because you're just going about your daily business and you think, oh, well, mine's over there in the stock market. It's being handled. But sometimes it's not. In other words, we get up some mornings and the stock market falls 800 points.
Yeah.
You know? And we can't stop it. There's not anything you can do. But if you've got some of your money safe, then you could never lose it all.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good point. And I think that, what we do, a person cannot lose their money because it's in a life insurance policy. I mean, I think a life insurance policy is pretty safe.
And I think that's
in my estimation.
Exactly. I would say, and again, this is just, you know, from the outside looking in, but I would say probably one of the big benefits of trying to grow your wealth through a life settlement type of investment is that it's not affected by literally anything else on earth. So you know, you mentioned Saudi Arabia. Whatever happens over there, it's not going to affect a life settlement. Whatever happens on Wall Street, it won't affect it at all. It's completely self-contained.
It is. And life insurance companies have more premium income than any bank ever had. Their premium income is staggering. How much a month and a year that a life insurance company takes in on their life insurance policies and on their annuities. They have so much money. It's just, you know, it's an amazing thing how much money life insurance companies take in. So, you know, when we consider them, we say, okay, first of all, if we're going to buy a policy from a client, who is the life insurance company behind it? It has to be an A and double rated company. We can't use a B or a C company. We can't use anybody that the state board in that state has said, look, we're going to downgrade them. If anybody's downgraded, we can't touch them. And that's a good thing. And there's so many things we do to protect people's money. And the other thing we do is we don't touch it. And that's, you know, that really protects your money when we have the bank handling your money.
And there's a couple of things here. One, these are all official regulations, so they have to be done. But also, these are a good type of regulation series that they have in place because it is actually good for the investor. It helps protect them.
It does. And I'll think about it this way. When you come and do business with us, there's not some brokers touching your money or handling it or investing it. We invest it, but we do it through the bank. And that I don't know of a safer way to do it.
Which is almost the opposite of what you were talking about a few minutes ago with, you know, the broker that, you know, invested in these other
mutual funds,
exactly, to benefit him and it really actually harms the investor. It may benefit the broker, but that's not why people are investing. They're trying to build their own wealth, not their brokers.
That's right. And so you know, when we everything we do, like, we put their money in the bank as an IRA or as a joint custodial account with them and their wife, and then the bank takes it from there for us. We say, okay, bank, we need the premiums paid. We've already deposited the money. The bank gets on it. They pay the premium. Then the person passes away. Again, we say, bank, get the certified death certificate. They do that. They send the certified death certificate to the insurance company for us. The insurance company writes the check again to the bank, not us, and then it goes into each account. The bank puts it in. And that's just more and more protection. Look at all the levels of protection they have. You know, like with brokerage house, everybody has access to your money. Nobody has access to your money but the bank. And that's, I think that's, you know, really a great way to do it. People didn't used to do it that way. And we've had run-ins with some of those companies, so we know. Then the other thing is we don't do senior policies. That'll help you an awful lot, not doing senior policies.
Oh, yeah, because the policies that you're investing in are people that have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And the reason for that is, I guess to make it super simple, is because you can almost, and I know cancer is a very serious thing, especially stage 4, but realistically, the metrics are there. The numbers show that there is... the timeline can change, but there is a definite end to somebody diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. You know that that policy is going to mature, whereas on the other side, an elderly person, they could go on to 100, 120. I mean, the variation is so wide.
Even tell us over 100, please. Remember, we've still got those three policies.
You're going to be one of those that goes to 125, 150. I feel it in my bones.
No, we've got to get those out. We've got to kick them out. I mean, oh, my gosh. But like you say, we've taken every conservative approach we can take to guard people's money, to make it safe, to make them money. And we know there's risk. We have risk. And we've got all the risk we want. And we've narrowed that risk down as much as we can. The biggest risk is if a policy goes over. And we have some policies that are over. But the money is still safe. You know, the money hadn't went anywhere. The policies went over. You'll still get your money. You'll still get your profit. It's just going to be longer. But remember, if it's in an IRA, you couldn't have spent it anyway. If it's in an IRA, you know, it's in there for the long term. It's in there for retirement. So it won't hurt. Now, then the only ones that's going to get hurt is the ones that have that old policy that we talk about all the time, because we're still waiting for them to pass away where we can pay those out, and it'll be a forever deal, never again happen. But anyway, all the people that have got policies that are maturing all the time, you can go on our website and look it up. You can look at what we're making for the client. You can see how long it took to mature those policies and how many of them came in early. All of that is on the website for you to see, where you can make a good determination of how to put your money with us. And like you said, if people put their money with us now and quit procrastinating, they'll have income for retirement a lot sooner than if they just procrastinate, and their portfolio goes down in the meantime, they'll have less money to invest.
Yeah. And so really how this works is people invest in one and then they take their profits, invest in another. And there, and a lot of people are in, you know, multiple policies at the same time. But the idea of this is that this is a plan. This is a strategy that is executed over several years. And it doesn't have to be like 50 or 60 years. It's not a lifetime. But, you know, over several years, five, you know, three, 10, whatever, you know, the person's timeline is how long you can go. But this goes over time. This is not an invest in one thing, one time, take the payout and retire. This is not like winning the Mega Millions.
You wouldn't have enough if you did it one time.
No.
You have to get an income stream going. You've got to have that interest coming in and renewing every time and to get to your goal. So that's what we're trying to do, is get everybody to the goal for retirement. And we also have some new policies that we're filling. We filled some yesterday. We're going to fill some more this week. And this is a good thing. We finally got some of those closed that we've been trying to close. So this is a good thing for everybody.
Now, you had quite a bit on the line that you were waiting to close, right?
That's right. And we've closed over a million of it. But we've got a lot to close yet.
Wow.
Yes, and we're closing as fast as we can. And, you know, calling people, say, okay, we're ready. How much do you want in this policy? And as soon as they email us back, we're putting them in and closing them and going to escrow.
So the policies that you're getting are filling pretty quick, but the good news is that there's always more policies that are coming. There's not like, okay, we have 10 and then that's it. We're done. See ya. There's always more coming in. There's always policies that are maturing. You're always bidding on more. You're always getting awarded more. You're always having more people investing in different policies. So the wheel is always turning. There's always money that's being made.
That's right. And we have to keep going in order to get everybody ready for retirement. We can't just sit here. We have to buy policies every day, and we have to close policies every week. And that's what we're attempting right now, is to get a lot of these policies that we've been bidding, get them closed, and get people in them and make them happy. Because, you know, I'm getting a lot of calls. I've been getting a lot of calls. Everybody wanted to know where their closing documents were, and we've just now got them. So we're going to be getting that done. We've got some done yesterday. We'll get a lot more done this next week. And we'll have more closed this next week also. But, you know, if you can make 1% a month with us, it's a good thing. I know the mutual fund companies, they don't guarantee them but 8%.
Really?
You know, yeah, the mutual fund keeps the rest of it, but they'll give them 8.
And so when you say 1% a month, that holds true for each month of the expectancy of the policy. So if somebody's in to say,
that's
a 24
right. Doesn't matter if it's 24 months, 27 or 12.
Yeah. They're going to get that regardless of when the policy matures. So if you take a 24-month policy and it matures in 12 months, they still get the 24. They just get it in half the time.
That's right. And if it comes in on time, they get it on that 24th month. If it comes in late, they may not get it for 30 months.
And so
however it comes in, they're going to make a profit. They're going to get their principal back plus their interest.
If it does go over, though, there is one risk, and people have to pay the premiums.
That's right. Now, some of them, we've had a few that we've bought that had no premiums because they took a disability, and when they did, that waived all their premiums. But most of them do have premiums. They will have to pay premiums if it goes over. We've got several that I think the premiums don't come to for 2023.
Oh, wow.
So some of them you have a long paid-up premium. Some of them it's going to be this quarter. Some of them it's next quarter. You know, there's just all different scenarios.
And so let's run some of these simple numbers here, because I know when we say that, you know, you may have to pay the premiums, you have to know that in advance. It's one of the risks. You have to be upfront. You're totally transparent about all this. But when we say people have to pay the premiums, I'm afraid that when people first hear this for the first time, they think, oh my gosh, you got to pay the premiums on these policies, and they're going to be through the roof, and I'm going to lose my whole profit.
No.
That is not the case.
No, most of them are very, very small. I had a gentleman in my office the other day. I looked his up. It was $9 a quarter He said, is there a mistake? I said, I don't think so. But most of them are like 300 a quarter, 150 a quarter, maybe 500 a quarter. You know, it just depends on what the situation was when we bought the policy. And, of course, we try to keep the premiums low. And sometimes if it's a high premium policy, we'll put a lot of people in it. And that brings that premium risk way down.
So the more
and
people...
And then we've had some that everybody loved the policy, yet it had a high premium. And so we put only certain people in it. Then we ask them, now, if it's $2,000, you might know. We can afford it. Let's go.
Okay. All right, so really there's a number of different scenarios. It just depends on the investor, the plan that they're on, what they've got to work with, the time frame. There's a lot of, it's a very fluid type of situation. It's always really changing. And the people that you put in each policy, it's the ones that's appropriate for them.
That's right. It's an appropriate investment for their age and for how much money they have. And we try to check that every time. It makes sure that our clients always have other money, they have emergency expense, and this is not the only dollar they have in the whole world, that they have other money for emergencies. And we make sure that they have it, you know, money for medical, all kinds of emergencies. And, of course, a lot of our clients have income from a lot of different sources, you know. So when we add all this up, we check to see what all they have, you know. And we have people that come to us, maybe all they have is $150,000. So we ask them, how much money are you making? Well, he's making the $200,000. His wife makes another $100,000. So we know that they're going to be okay. We don't have to worry about it. But we do check everybody as to money, emergency money, all kinds of things.
Okay. And there's a number of factors that will determine if somebody is accredited for this program or not. And we'll get into that here in just a little bit. But, you know, when you mention, you know, that, that you know, there may be a $300 premium that they have to pay, it's important to know that you may not be on a program like that. You may be on a program with, you know, say, one of those $9 or $7 premiums per quarter. Or you may be on a policy that, you know, they, like you were mentioned earlier, they may not have any premiums until 2023. It's important to know that each policy and each investor is in a program and is in a policy that is right for them. So regardless of the situation, there's a number of different scenarios. And I think that's what's really one of those things that's, that really gravitates people to this is that it is so flexible for so many different people, no matter where on the scale you fall.
That's exactly right. And we want everybody to be comfortable with their investments. We want everybody, you know, they make the decisions. I don't. I just say, this is what I think you could put in. You know, it's $50,000 or $100,000. I think this would work for you. So, and it depends. How many other policies they have with us, how much other money they've got. And we want them to be comfortable with the amount invested in every policy. So, you know, we go over all that with them. We send them out all the health information. We want them to know the facts in every policy where they can make an intelligent decision.
Okay. And we'll kind of get into the policies, you know, what you're looking for, what people are investing in a little bit more detail here in just a little bit. But this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we always get into trivia, and sometimes you bring a place to go. Sometimes you bring some trivia about Texas. So what are we talking about today?
Well, you know, I thought about this. And I said, you know, it's football season. We need to talk about football. You know, in Texas football, as you know how big it is here.
Yeah.
Okay? You know that we're really into that. So I said, you know, I want to do something on somebody that I don't know if you remember or not, but somebody that came from a long time ago, a professional football player that was one of my favorites. Do you remember Dandy Don Meredith?
Oh, yes. I used to love him. He went on and he went into the, he was one of, and I may be wrong about this, but as far as I can remember, he was one of the pioneers that went from player up into the broadcasting booth, isn't he? I think he was one of the first.
That's right. And he was also an actor.
Yes.
He was born in Mount Vernon, Texas in 1938. You know, that's just east of Dallas. He attended Mount Vernon High School. He started football, basketball. He was in plays. He graduated second in his class. And then when he got out, he was recruited by everybody. He was being recruited by Texas A&M, Bear Bryant. He decided to go to Southern Methodist, SMU. He led Southwest Conference in passing completions, and every 3 years he was there. He was a starting quarterback. He was All-American in 58, 59. They referred to Southern Methodist back there as Southern Meredith University. He was so popular on campus. You know, he had a great personality. He completed 8 of 20 passes for 156 yards in the College All-Stars game. It was a 32-7 loss to Baltimore. And the Chicago College All-Star game was in 1960. But he was honored twice by SMU in later decades. He was the recipient of the university's Distinguished Alumni Award in 83. His jersey was number 17. It was retired in halftime ceremonies on October 18th, 08. He was also inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 82. But now this is the interesting part that nobody probably knows about. The Dallas Cowboy franchise was admitted to the league too late to participate in the games back then. And so he signed a contract with one of Clint Murchison's companies and said, okay, I'll go to play for the Cowboys. And the Cowboys didn't even have a franchise.
Really?
They did not have a franchise when he started. So on November the 28th, 1959, it was 1 month prior to the draft that he signed that contract. And he was going to play for them if they received an NFL franchise. The Chicago Bears also was trying to get him. And the league honored the contract, but they made the Cowboys compensate the Bears with a third-round pick in the 1962 NFL draft.
Really?
He is considered the original Dallas Cowboys because he came to them before they even had a franchise.
He was on
before
the team.
They'd adopted.
He was on the team,
yeah,
before the team was even a team.
That's right. They didn't even have a nickname. They had not hired a head coach. And they had not participated in the 1960 expansion draft.
You know, that's really taking a chance.
They were. And they had not even had the first NFL draft in 1961.
Wow.
Now, they had some crosstown rivals back then. It was the American Football League, the Texans, and but they were too late to sign.
Really?
So Meredith spent 2 years as a backup to Eddie LeBaron, and I don't remember Eddie LeBaron.
I don't either.
In 1962, he was given the full-time starting job by Tom Landry in 1963. If you remember, Landry was their head coach all those years.
I remember Tom Landry. I don't know how long he was there, but he was there like forever.
He was. He wore that fedora every Sunday and always a suit, remember?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was a gray suit, wasn't it?
It was a gray suit. And in 1966, Meredith led the Cowboys to the NFL postseason. It was something he continued to do until his unexpected retirement in 1969. His two most heartbreaking defeats came in the NFL championship against the Green Bay Packers. They lost 34-27 in the famous Ice Bowl game, 21-17 in 67.
Wow.
Yeah. He was always exceptionally popular with the Cowboy fans who remembered him for his grit, his toughness, his outgoing good nature, and his leadership during all those seasons. and he had a 50.7% completion rate.
Wow.
And he threw for 17,000 yards, 135 touchdowns. He had a lifetime passing rate of 74.8.
That's cool. That's amazing.
Isn't he amazing? And he was the NFL Player of the Year in 66. He was named to the Pro Bowl three times. The longest pass with no yards was his 83-yard pass to Bob Hayes. And he also, along with Harvey Martin, if you remember him, to play his high school, Mount Vernon, when he was at SMU. Can you imagine?
Man, you know, it's just sitting here bringing me back all these memories. It's like, you know, back then, that's when, not to take away anything from the game now, but that's when football was football. You know, the you had guys like Don Meredith who just came out and they were just naturally big, tough dudes, and they were scary people because they had to be, and that's, you know, when things were just getting started, that's when really I think, and I've heard a lot of people say as well, that that's when the NFL was really in its heydays back then, 60s, 70s, 80s even.
And remember, these were clean cut football guys.
Yeah,
they came from small towns, they had good manners, they had wonderful parents. I can remember so many things about his parents. They came to every game. They always introduced them, and I love to hear them talk about their son, Dandy Don Meredith. I mean, it was something else.
Yeah.
And then when he left the Cowboys, you were right. He became a color commentator. First, he was on ABC's Monday Night Football beginning in 70. And then he went to work for three seasons with Kurt Gowdy at NBC. Then he went back, and if you remember, Frank Gifford and Howard Cosell.
Yes, I remember Howard Cosell, yep.
Oh, my gosh, Howard Cosell was something else. It was always lighthearted, folksy. And, of course, Gifford gave it play-by-play. Cosell was a lot more serious, but Don wasn't.
Yeah.
And if you remember, he sang this every time they were on. He was singing, "Turn out the lights, the party's over."
I remember that.
Remember
yes.
That?
Yes.
Oh, I loved it. And he had a few incidents, of course. He called President Richard Nixon Tricky Dick on the air. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. And then he retired from after 84 is when he retired. He retired a year after Cosell retired. And his last one was Frank Gifford and Joe Theismann.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in 76, he was inducted to the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor. And then, if you remember, Peter Gent, do you remember him? The guy that wrote the book, North Dallas 40?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody talked about it back then. And anyway, it was a fictional account of somebody, but everybody said it was about Don Meredith and him.
Really?
And, oh, yeah. And he said, if I'd known Gent was as good as he says he was, he said, I'd have thrown more passes to him. As good as he said he was, you know? But it was a wonderful fictional book. Peter Gent wrote several books about football, but this one was really a great book, and everybody read it. But he was the 2007 recipient of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Peter Rozelle's Radio Television Award. And then he became an actor. Now, do you remember what he played on? I didn't remember.
I don't remember I remember bits and pieces. He did commercials. Wasn't he like a spokesperson for some like Lipton
tea?
Yeah.
Lipton tea. And that was in the 80s. But he played Detective Burt Jameson on Police Story.
Nope, I forgot about that one.
Then The Witness. He played on it. Let's see. He did the Lipton tea. He was on King of the Hill.
He was on King of the Hill?
He played Hank Hill. He was also part of a cast, 3 Days of Rain with Blythe Danner, Peter Falk, and Jason Patrick.
Really?
Uh-huh. And also, and I don't remember this, Terror on the Fourth Floor. And he started with John Forsythe was in it, Joseph Campanella, and Lynn Carlin.
No, that's I'm trying to remember, and it's just not ringing a bell with me at all.
But I remembered everything else. The Lipton tea ad was really good, and I always remembered it.
Yeah, I know. It's like the weirdest thing. The smallest, most oddball fact will stick in my brain, and I remember that for some reason. But I don't remember, you know, half these other things for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, and of course he was married three times.
Was he really?
He married, he married an SMU cheerleader named Lynn Schamberger. They were married from 59 to 63. They had one daughter named Mary. He was married to the former Cheryl King, had one son, Michael, and a daughter, Heather. Then his third wife, you're not going to believe this, her name was Susan Lessons Dully. And they were both walking down 3rd Avenue in New York when they met.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's just how outgoing he really was.
They literally met on the street.
On the street in New York City. Now, that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
In later years, he lived in Santa Fe. He moved out to Santa Fe. I never will forget. And he gave an interview several times, but he didn't want to, but he did give a few. He died December the 5th in 2010 in Santa Fe. And he was 72 when he died.
So sad. But man, what a great guy! I mean, it was just in an era where football guys had to be they had to be mean guys. He was such a nice guy. He went against the grain, but had so much talent.
He did. Everybody talked about his family from Mount Vernon. When they would interview them, they would say it was their baby boy. I mean, I remember his parents so well. And everybody in Mount Vernon, talked about having a star like Don Meredith, a good boy from a good family, and how well he did in life. And he never forgot to say something about his parents, in the games. I can remember, he would say something about them.
Yeah.
And even on television, he'd talk about the people out in Mount Vernon.
Such a gracious guy,
And folks, he was just, as humble as you could ever get.
Yeah, really. Well, yeah.
But everybody loves the Dallas Cowboys. It's America's team. They haven't done well in the last few years, but they've done better than they were doing. I'm hoping this year will be an exceptional year.
Yeah, this year was kind of a rough start, but I think they'll get it all worked out.
I hope they do, because they're just not any other team like the Cowboys.
Exactly. That's why they're America's team.
That's why they're America's team. I guess it's just because they're from Dallas. They're bigger than life is what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And as soon as you walk into the stadium, you can feel it, too. It's like that whole stadium just has this aura of confidence, and everything is just, bigger and better. It really personifies what the team is all about.
That's exactly right. So, I think that there was a several, during these years in the 60s, they had a lot of people like Don Meredith who were homespun, just regular people. And there's a lot of Cowboys that live, the former ones live in Dallas, quite a few of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they retired here, and they went into business, and they've done very well.
Awesome. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, when we're talking about investing in these life insurance policies, it's important to know what kinds of policies these are, because you touched on, just the fact that there are elderly policies that are out there, and those are not at all what you're interested in. You don't even bid on them. Those come across your desk. You throw them away immediately. We're talking about policies that are people with stage 4 cancer.
That's exactly right. And we buy people's policies if they're 30, 40, 50, 60, up to 74. And we draw the line at 74. We don't want to get into the seniors, so that's what we do. And, you know, a lot of people will buy any kind of policy. I know people that will say, oh, yeah, whether you're sick or not, we'll just buy your policy. But we don't do that. And it's specialized because we only do cancer, and we only do stage 4 cancer. And other people, you know, they may do all kinds of things that are wrong with people. Mm-hmm. But we find that cancer, stage 4, is going to take them out. And there's not anything they can do about it. There's not anything we can do about it. But we help them by buying their policy where they can have a little bit better treatment, I would say. They can go to, you know, bigger places to get treatment, or they can settle with their family. We have a lot of people that have a lot of money and a big policy, and they say, we just want to settle. We just want to settle with our children, get everybody settled now. We don't want them to fight over it when we're gone. So we've done a lot of policies like that, too.
Yeah, and really when you're buying somebody's policy who does have stage 4 cancer, this really does help them out. In fact, it really has two benefits. It's twofold. One, it helps the policy holder, because we all know that cancer treatments are very, very expensive. And so a lot of times when somebody is diagnosed with stage 4, it's going to take a lot of treatment. It's going to get very expensive very, very quickly. And so the fastest way to get a lump sum of money is to sell their life insurance policy. So they're able to get that lump sum, go ahead and do the treatments that they need. But then on the other side, it benefits people who are trying to save and build their wealth for retirement, because it becomes that policy becomes an investment for people to build their wealth.
That's exactly right. And the only way you can build your wealth is to be in policies. You can't do it by just sitting there. And if you're scared to step out of that CD, you know, what you're going to have is whatever those CDs are worth when you retire. That's all you're going to have.
And so when we talk about these policies being very well informed, you kind of touched on this a little while ago. People know exactly what the policyholder has been through. They know the kind of cancer, where it is, the treatments they've already been through, the treatments really. And this is something I think you stress sometimes. Probably we could make a little bit more big of a deal out of it, because this is also important, the treatments that they have not been through.
That's exactly right. And a lot of times, you know, when we get a policy in, we're looking at the life expectancy. I look down there and it says, well, we've been in Mexico taking these specialized treatments. You know, I buy those policies faster than the others, because we know you have to have regular treatment. I don't care who you are. You're going to do much better if you stick to traditional treatments.
Yeah,
and I know people don't always believe that. They like the oil, they like all this other.
Yeah,
this other is going to make you live a little longer.
Yeah, and one other thing that you look at also, and this is I think is probably just a glowing testament as to how much insight you actually have when you see these reports. You look at the type of pain medication that the patient is on. So you go really, really deep. You analyze the data, and just knowing the type of pain medication that the policyholder is on, that tells you an awful lot right there.
When they say they're on methadone, you know you've got a small problem.
And by small, you mean very big.
That's very big. I bid on one this week and said they were taking methadone, and I go, oh, my gosh. And said, yeah, the pain was, they've got it under control now. I said, I guess so. They don't even know where they are.
Yeah, yeah. And so when somebody is on pain medicine that's that extreme, you know that they're in a lot of pain. You know that the cancer has advanced a lot.
You know that it's just about eating them up is what it is. And, of course, when I'm reading their life expectancy, I look and say, every medication they're taking for cancer, if they're on chemo, if they're on radiation, have they given up, or are they going hard? You know, which way is it? But it's important to know everything you can about these people. We could be wrong. The doctors can be wrong. But we do our very best every day to be sure we're right when we buy these policies.
And so when somebody comes in and see you and you have this policy and you say, okay, I've got this policy here, and this person has this type of cancer, they've been through this and that and the other thing, the investor us don't need to speak medical terms. It's all laid out right there. It's all very plain. It's all very clear. You've been through it a ton of times. You know everything about it. But the great thing is so does the investor. They don't just necessarily say, okay, put me in it, which I think a lot of them do after, you know, they realize that, you know, if it's up for investing, then it's a good policy. But especially the early investors, the ones who are there for the first or second time, they're going to know everything about the policy holder and everything, which makes this probably one of the most, if not the most well-informed investment available.
That's exactly right, because if you know approximate, pretty close, when the people are going to pass away, and you know how much money you've got, you know what your profit is, you know if it goes over what it's going to cost, you've got everything you need to make an intelligent decision.
Now, with that said, this is not a program for everybody. The investor has to be accredited, and so what exactly does that mean?
They must be accredited. They need to have a net worth of $1 million without their primary home. Or, it's an either or. Or they need to be making $200,000 a month. If they make $200,000, they can do it. If they have $1 million and don't make $200,000, they can do it. But they have to do either or in order to come do this. If not, they've got to do something like an annuity.
Wait.
There's not anything wrong with annuities.
They need to make $200,000 a month or a year?
A year.
Okay.
A year.
All right.
Did it sound like I was saying per month?
I thought you said a month.
I love it. Let's change it. We'll just change it to monthly.
That's a totally different policy right there.
That's going to be a heck of a policy, heck of an investment, too. Well,
it's like, okay, now I'm out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, this will take care of everybody.
Yeah. Okay, so $200,000 a year, and if they don't qualify for this, if they're not accredited, there's a lot of other options. So, you know, I don't want people to think, oh my gosh, I can't invest in a life insurance policy. I'm doomed as far as retirement goes. No. There's other options available.
That's right. They can do an annuity. Annuity's been around a long time. But again, according to what you make, minus your debt, we still have to check all that, you know?
Yeah.
And you can't be broke and go into annuity.
Exactly. You still have to have something
you
to start with.
You can't put $5,000 in annuity.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to have at least $50,000 to go into an annuity.
Yeah. You have to have some resources to at least get started with.
That's right. You can't start with 5 or 10.
And then a lot of times people will take that annuity, they'll build that wealth, and then they'll convert that into a life settlement type of investment. And so really there's a number of options. And just because you start in one place doesn't mean you can't end up in another. Really, and the great thing about this is that with what you do, it's not a one-size-fits-all. So, you know, everything is customized to the investor, into the resources, their age, where they want to be, when they want to retire, how much they need to make. So you'll take care of all of that. So as of right now, this very moment, and I know nobody's at your office right now because it's Saturday. So when people come to see you next week, they want to come well-informed. So what should they be doing right now before they come talk to you?
They should gather up everything they want me to look at. Their different investments, everything. Their 401, their IRA. Let me look at it. If you like us, when you get through, we'd love to have you. But I would think everybody needs, to make this kind of money, to make it solid. You know, 12% a year, you know, it's pretty good money. We're not going to make them rich, but we're going to make them some steady money over a period of years for retirement.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much they're making in the stock market, but I would certainly examine it. I would examine variable annuities that you have, because there's some pretty good fees on those variable annuities.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a lot of opportunity with the life settlement.
That's exactly right. So I'd love for them to take a look at it, look at it and see if it's for them.
All right. Well, Faye, one last time, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.